Okay, I'm going to call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today is Wednesday, February 13th. The time is 9 o'clock. Presently with us is Senator Dunleavy, Senator Bishop, and Vice Chairman Senator Fairclough, and myself, Co-Chair Meyer. We are going to have an abbreviated session today. We'll try to knock off at about 10 till 10 or 5 till 10. We'll see where there's a good place to break. And hopefully we can still make through both departments. So we'll go relatively quickly. And let's see. Let's start, if there's nothing to come before the committee right now, let's go ahead and start with Department of Education and Early Development. And I see that we have Elizabeth Needleman here. And she may want to bring some lifelines with her as we proceed through the process. So Elizabeth, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Good morning. For the record, I'm Elizabeth Needleman, Director of School Finance and Facilities for the Department of Education. And I am here this morning to go through the items in the capital budget.
Okay, Elizabeth, the way we have been progressing is just, kind of briefly go through the items, and we'll hold our questions until you get all the way through them, and then we'll ask the questions once you're done.
Thank you. The first item, reference 57038, is the Mount Edgecombe High School heating plant boilers and utilidor piping replacement. And this is a campus heating replacement project for the Mount Edgecombe Residential High School. It's an important project. The heating system is from the 1940s, and we have had multiple breakdowns in the heating system, and this will secure that system and bring it forward to current standards. The second item on our list, reference number 52483, is the statewide libraries, archives, and museums. This is a $20 million request. It leaves an additional $30 million still needed to complete the project. The total project has been bid and priced, and total funding, if in place by 2013, will take advantage of that current guaranteed price that's available right now. This has been a collaborative effort from statewide, from both the governor's office and the legislature. And again, this $20 million request with an additional $30 million awaiting will be the final funding needed for this project. The next 14 projects on the list, the first two are from the department's construction list, the CIP ranked list, and then the following 12 are from the department's major maintenance list. The CIP ranked major maintenance list. The first construction project is the Nightmute renovation and addition. It's a $32 million, 965 project. The second project is Quinnahawk. It's a $13 million, 207,000 project. And that's a request for additional funding for a project that was originally funded in FY 2012. The project was funded, and after additional design and a geotechnical report, it was discovered that there was permafrost conditions that changed some of the necessary building elements in that project. So this is a request for additional funding so that project can be built. That covered reference numbers 57019 and 57020. The next 12 projects total $22,263,000. They're the projects that rank from 1 to 12 for major maintenance items on the department's ranked list, and I would be happy to go through each of those projects individually if you'd like.
I don't believe that's necessary, Elizabeth, unless committee members have a specific project they want to.
The final project on the capital request, reference number 757 is $1,845,000, and that's a major maintenance request for the Mount Edgecombe Residential High School. That covers items that are identified in the Mount Edgecombe six-year plan that need to be addressed through maintenance. And that concludes the items in the capital request.
Okay. Thank you for that testimony. Would you have some questions, Senator Dunleavy?
Yes, through the chair. Thank you. I've got several. I'll just you cut me off if I'm taking too much time. So on page 2, you got the page 2 of prior funding history. What is the estimated cost of the building?
Thank you.
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, I may not have the exact page numbers that you do. Is your question on the State Library Archives and Museums?
I'm sorry. It would be a reference 52483. And it's the
State Library.
Yes.
Thank you. And Chair Myers, if you would like, I do have some members of the Department of Education here that could speak directly to that project. That would be Director Thibodeau and Assistant Director Bob Banghart.
Okay. Yes, if they want to join us. You may have to restate your question.
Sure. Through the chair, the question was, looking at 52483, which is the library, down the page you have prior funding history, additional information. I'm looking at that, and the question we have is, what is the estimated cost of the building?
Through the chair, to Senator Dunleavy, my name is Linda Thibodeau, and I'm the director of the Division of Libraries, Archives, and Museums. The estimated cost is $132 million.
Thank you. Through the chair?
Sure. Go ahead.
Follow-up. Any estimation on operating costs?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, the operating costs, I don't have a solid figure for you at my hand right now, but the answer to that question is that the estimated operating costs are equal or approximately 10% less than our current operating costs in our three current locations and our two off-site storage locations.
Through the chair, would you have what those operating costs are for those buildings or not?
Through the chair, not off the top of my head. I think it'd be wise for me not to guess at this point, but we can provide that easily.
Please. And I have several other questions, but I can defer if there's.
Let me just follow up on that particular question. So how much is left then to fund this building, the SLAM building? I think I heard $30 million, but I thought it was more than that. Maybe you can just verify that for me, please.
Yes, Mr. Chair. The request in the governor's budget is $20 million, and the additional needed is $30 million, so the total is $50 million.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Senator Dunleavy.
Going over to the chair, going over to 57019.
Can you give us a page number?
It's page 4. And it has to do with the Knightmute School. It's just the general question. If you could help me, what exactly did the consent decree and settlement agreement for Casale state?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, I can briefly address that without reading the settlement agreement. But the settlement agreement was to build 5 schools in rural Alaska from 2013 through 2016.
Thank you.
Okay, continue, Senator Dunleavy.
Thank you. On page page 5, which is 57020. Can you tell me how the estimated cost was determined in FY12, and why does it appear that the estimate was somewhat off the mark?
The estimated cost was determined when the, through the chair, when the district first applied for the school project, and it was determined through a cost estimate that was done in 2008 and a conceptual design. It was somewhat off the mark when design was further along and a geotechnical study was completed, and it was discovered that the building methods needed to change to accommodate a permafrost environment.
Thank you.
Additional questions?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Page 6, which would be 45658. It appears that the recognized needs for major maintenance totals about $254 million. What's the plan? What is the plan that EED has to address the major maintenance needs?
We will, through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, we will continue to have the districts bring those needs forward. We will evaluate those applications each September and rank those applications. And within the needs of the total state, we will look for dollar amounts that can make progress towards major maintenance and award those in ranked order for those projects on our list.
The question?
Yep, go ahead. You're on a roll.
Page 7, 57024. It appears that this is a request for reimbursement for a completed project. Is this a normal process?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, this is a normal process. Our regulations allow reimbursement for grant expenses up to 36 months prior. And so we do find that some of the project applications are for work that is either partially completed or completed. And if those projects, through the criteria set out, rank and are in the projects with awards, then they can receive funding reimbursement.
And is there, do you have a number of projects on a major maintenance list that are completed, such as this? Is there a list?
Through the chair, we do have a list of that, and over the past 10 years, the number of projects that apply that have been completed range from zero in some years to 12 projects in some years, and that is comparative to the total projects on that list that average between 80 and 100 projects.
Thank you. I have several more if other folks are...
Okay. Senator Fairclough, did you have a question? And we'll come back to you, Senator Dunleavy. Senator Dunleavy, I think we do try to chip away at this major maintenance list every year, as Elizabeth mentioned. Some years we have more money than other years to chip away at. Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, it appears that we have a guaranteed price up until the end of this year, so I would just highlight that unless we want to pay more, that we might consider funding the additional $30 million if we're going to do that. I'm not sure what our risk is, but what I've seen when people give maximum guarantees is that we're going to be foolish not to try to take advantage of that, because we're going to pay quite a bit more afterwards. So that's the project on page 2.
You're referring to the SLAM project?
The museum?
Museum, yeah.
The museum. I mean, the governor's put in a piece of it, but it appears that the department is telling us that we're going to pay more later if we don't complete the project. If I could move on to page 4, the Nyamute school, is there another school close to Nyamute? What's the closest school in proximity?
Through the chair, Senator Faircloth, I would need to check our records and maps on that and get back to you. I apologize.
Thank you. On the other schools in rural areas, when we're building gymnasiums, are we building those to state specification standards, or are we helping with community centers at the same time?
Through the chair, Senator Faircloth, we are only building through the Department of Education to size standards based on the student count. If there's a building that is beyond use for education, that is not being funded through the Department of Education.
Mr. Chairman, if I may. Are we considering, do they have another opportunity to expand their facilities? When I've been in rural Alaska, the schools are typically the center or the heart of the small villages, and I understand that we have state standards and state specifications, but is there a way that they can apply for or increase their square footage to accommodate a community's need versus us going in and funding another separate facility?
Through the chair, Senator Faircloth, there are at least two avenues where that could happen. We do have available in regulation a variance that a district could apply for. Those are generally smaller additions of space. The second way that could happen is if the community joined their funds with the school's funds, and therefore they could combine a facility. The Department of Education would pay for a portion of it, and the community would pay for a portion of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Faircloth. Senator Bishop.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one question back on Quinnahawk, 57020. If you could provide to the chair the GO report for the additional costs on the permafrost, I get it. I just want to look at it and take a look at that to make sure.
Through the chair, Senator Bishop, we'd be happy to follow up with additional information through the chair.
Great. Thank you, and we'll make sure you get that information. Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, thank you. Just two more questions. Regarding the school of Tenneke, again, just curious, the student numbers have been fluctuating around 7, 10, 11, et cetera. Does EED have a plan, or are they in discussions with how the department would approach schools that appear to be on the marginal edge of being a viable school in terms of buildings?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, for new construction, there is a plan in place to evaluate, and the commissioner would evaluate new construction requests when the enrollment is at a low level. For the maintenance of our schools, if it's a currently operating school, we will consider maintenance applications to maintain those schools that children are enrolled in.
Thank you. And just one last question. I believe at one time St. Mary's was on the Casale decree, and they are no longer on that school. Is that because it's a city school district, or what occurred that had St. Mary's removed from the list?
Through the chair, Senator Dunleavy, I don't have the answer to that for you today. I would need to go back and look at the information related to that settlement.
Through the chair, could I request that information?
Yes, you may.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Senator Dunleavy. Any additional questions from committee members? Seeing none, thank you, Elizabeth, and everyone else for joining us this morning. And we'll look forward to getting the additional information and getting it out to the committee members. Okay, so at this time, let's not take a brief at ease because they're never brief. Let's just go ahead and bring up the Department of Natural Resources. And if everybody could find that section in their binders. Okay, if we could follow a similar format where we'll go through the items fairly quickly, and then we'll just have the committee members pull those items that they have additional questions on. So it looks like we have a panel of three here, which is great. And so I don't know who wants to start, but the floor is yours.
Good morning. Thank you. For the record, my name is Jean Davis. I'm the director of the Support Services Division for the Department of Natural Resources, and I will let my esteemed colleagues introduce themselves. We're here to present our capital budget this morning. We have a capital budget of about $28 million. $18 million of it is unrestricted general fund, and our plan today would be to walk through each of our projects. The particular areas of expertise will be introduced by one of the three of us, so we'll rotate, if that's acceptable, on individual projects.
Yes, it is. Proceed. Just make sure you give us your name and affiliation, please.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Ed Fogles. I'm a deputy commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, and I will start off with our first request, which is the Unified Permit Project and Document Management, reference number 38872. This is a request for $3.3 million in general fund monies, and this is part of a multi-phase project to completely automate DNR's permitting systems. This is part of our permitting initiative to streamline and make things go a lot more efficiently, and be willing to answer any questions on that.
Just keep going.
We'll
save the questions for the end.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, my name is Joe Balash, Deputy Commissioner for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm the other deputy. Item number 51052 is the second of 5 years request for strategic and critical minerals assessment. That's work being done by our Division of Geologic Geophysical Survey, assessing the potential statewide for rare earth elements and other critical minerals that Alaska may have present. And we have received prior funding in the last fiscal year. This would be the second year. We began our fields work in earnest last calendar year in 2012. This would continue to advance the program overall, and what our intention is to generate as much information as possible that then gets made public through our website, as well as annual summits that are held in Fairbanks in the fall. So happy to answer questions on that.
Keep going.
Okay. Continuing
we'll probably have some questions by the time we get to the end.
So. Thank you.
I'm disappointed we don't have questions. We'll have questions.
Trust me.
Go ahead.
Item number 31371 is oil and gas litigation and arbitration support for the Division of Oil and Gas. We have a number of things that occur on a frequent and predictable basis with regard to reopeners in the settlement agreements we have with the three primary leaseholders on the North Slope. The reopeners themselves typically result in a mutual agreement on how to modify either valuation or transportation costs. But every now and then, one of those reopeners does not result in an agreement, in which case we go to a full-blown arbitration. And that's what these funds go to support. In prior years, we have requested CIP funds that basically remain on hand and at the ready if necessary to utilize in an arbitration proceeding. Additionally, we use these funds to support litigation that may be brought against the division in a dispute between any of those three lessees or any other. It could be anywhere from a unit decision to a valuation dispute that is outside of the royalty settlement agreements, and these are basically reserve funds that we only spend as necessary. Item number 53984 is characterization of conventional and unconventional oil and gas resources. This is a combined item for both the Division of Oil and Gas and the Division of Geologic Geophysical Survey. assessing new opportunities, new plays that may be emerging or available in Alaska. And we look both north of the range on the slope as well as south of the range in the Cook Inlet Sedimentary Basin. An example of the type of work done here is a report that was just released last week by the Division of Geologic Geophysical Survey that geologists find fascinating.
Okay. Reference number 51045 is Project Management of Forest Access Roads, Tanana Valley. This is a request for $800,000 in general fund monies for the Division of Forestry to plan, locate, design, and construct roads within forested lands in the interior. This would primarily designed to allow Alaskans living in that area access to the forest for biomass energy and for personal firewood cutting. Reference number 51197, public access and user facility improvements for the Kasilof River. This would be phase one of a project to improve the facilities or build facilities at the mouth of the Kasilof River, which is a very highly used, personal use fishery that's boomed over the recent years. And phase one would construct a parking lot for 120 vehicles, two vaulted toilets, some turnaround areas, and some signs and kiosks. Reference number 49201, statewide timber inventories to support annual allowable harvest determinations and federal coordination on timber sales. This is a $300,000 general fund request for the Division of Forestry to do timber inventories in the McGrath and the Galena and finish off work in the Haines area to allow us to do more timber harvesting and biomass energy contracting in those areas. This amount would also allow us to continue our use with the our work with the United States Forest Service and helping them amp up their timber programs within the Chugach and Tongass National Forests. Reference number 56462, Riverbank Stabilization and Improvements at Bing's Landing. This is a $2 million general fund request for the Division of Parks to make parking and access improvements to a very highly used area on the Kenai River, Bing's Landing area, and also makes bank improvements for damaged riverbanks in the area.
For the record, Jean Davis. The next project is reference number 56503. It is Fairbanks Northern Region Office building generator and boiler replacement. We're requesting $220,000 to replace the backup generator, which provides a backup power source. This facility is requires a backup power source for emergency operability. This is where our Division of Forestry's dispatch center is for dispatching wildland fire and other emergency response. And a $40,000 request for replacement of two boilers in the facility, which are 25 years old and are starting to require more maintenance, and they are not energy efficient. So this would help us in a number of areas.
Okay, the next item, reference number 54849. Wildland fire engine replacement. This is our ongoing program to replace our Division of Forestry fire engines. They have an average lifespan from between 8 and 12 years. The division has 47 total fire engines. We've replaced 28 of them to date. This appropriation for $800,000 would allow us to replace 8 more, and that would leave 11 to be replaced in future years.
So what was the reference number on that again?
54849. Did we get that right? Or are we out of order?
Page 30.
Okay.
955.
Yeah, we have a different reference number, but that's fine.
I'm sorry. So the one on your sheet is reference number 33955?
Yep, page 30. Okay.
Okay. Sorry. I missed confusion here. Okay, the next item, reference number 56459, water monitoring and data collection to support adjudication of water rights applications for $300,000 of general fund monies. This appropriation would allow us to install groundwater monitoring wells and do water monitoring in some of our densely populated areas where demands on our groundwater in particular are increasing dramatically. And as we adjudicate water rights, we're having an increasingly difficult time determining whether a certain water right or water appropriation would negatively impact another water appropriation in that same area. The next item, reference number 56460, the Knick River Public Use Area Target Shooting Facility. This is a part of a multi-phase project to build a target shooting facility in the Knick Public Use Area. It's a very highly used area for recreationists and sport fishermen and ATV users, and we're proposing to build a target shooting facility as we put out in our plan for the area. The next item, reference number 6865. This is the National Historic Preservation Fund. This is a federal state matching program. $650,000 of federal money and matched with $150,000 of the general fund match. These are grants for historic projects throughout the state, such as repairing historic buildings. Another example would be recent project to replace the lantern housing at the Sentinel Island Lighthouse in Gastineau Channel. The next item, reference number 33690, Snowmobile Trail Development Program grants, $250,000 in vehicle receipts, and this is our snowmobile trail grooming program and signage program. These are grants that go out to local user groups to do trail work, and the requirement is to match those grants with at least 25% of cash, labor, or equipment. The next item, reference number 49717, the Juneau Historic Site House of Wickersham Renovation and Habitability, $200,000 general fund appropriation. This would be, again, part of a multi-phase project to completely renovate and make habitable the historic Wickersham House here in Juneau. The next item, reference number 37769, federal and local government funded forest resource and fire program projects. This is federal grant money, federal authorization. These are pass-through grants to local governments to do projects such as fire clearing, where we have hazardous fuel situations, for instance, or provide equipment to volunteer fire departments. The next item, reference number 6854, National Recreation Trail Grant Federal Program. Again, these are federal receipts. It's a grant program, 80-20 matching grants for recreational trails improvements throughout the state. The next item, reference number 37762, Cooperative Water Resource Programs. This would be authorization for $2.5 million in statutory designated program receipts. This is a program whereby the private sector and local governments can provide money through the state to federal agencies to do water monitoring. The federal agencies don't have the ability to take this money directly, so we act as a go-between for these. Some prominent examples include water monitoring sites around some of our major mines, such as Usabelli and Red Dog Pogo and Fort Knox, that the USGS is undertaking using money from this program. The next item, reference number 6855, Abandoned Mine Lands Reclamation Fund Program. This is our ongoing program, federal receipts of $3 million to allow us to reclaim abandoned mine sites in Alaska. Okay. The next item, reference number 56920. On your sheets, it's labeled Trail and Trailhead Access in Alaska State Parks. In the amended budget that the governor submitted today, this title will be changed to Trailhead Access Improvements. Right. Oh, the full title. ANCSA 17B and RS2477 Trailhead Access Improvements. This is a request for $750,000 in general fund monies to build improve access, trailhead access to heavily used trails. And the reason that the governor has amended this request is to broaden the scope out beyond state parks to other types of trail trailheads that we have, such as ANCSA 17B trailheads and RS2477s.
For the record, Jean Davis, we're moving into the last package of projects. We have reference number 51035, which is our deferred maintenance package. This is $3,872,000 of general fund, for which eight allocations at $2,772,000 are for our Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, and a separate allocation for $1.1 million for our forestry and fire facilities. This is the fourth year of the governor's five-year, $100 million deferred maintenance initiative and effort. And we have projects that cover the range from emergency repairs to fix unexpected damage due to winter snow, spring floods, vandalism, unexpected system failures. And we also have a large inventory of projects in both these divisions that we approach, and the divisions rank them and allocate projects on an annual basis, and can cover everything from upgrades, repairs, replacements of roads, fixing trails, shelters, outhouses, drinking water systems, parking areas, plumbing, electrical, HVAC, mold issues, mechanical systems, energy efficiency issues, and ADA access. I would be happy to walk through all the allocations if you like.
No, let's hold off on that. And if members have specific questions about their areas, then we can zero in on that a little bit. Thank you for your presentation. Oh, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, Jill Balash, for the record, I want to do something a little unusual and make a pitch for another agency's capital budget request.
Okay.
The Department of Administration has a $15 million request in for Geologic Materials Center upgrade, and we hope actually a purchase of an existing building and an upgrade and retrofit of that facility. Our current digs in Eagle River are beyond repair and must be replaced. The contents at that facility are priceless. 70 years worth of samples have been collected from all around the state, some places we can't gain access to at this date due to changes in federal law. But the preservation of those materials is critical to the state's future.
Great. Well, thank you, Mr. Balash. We appreciate that. And I think we do understand the importance of, you know, these core samples and having other oil companies look at them and hopefully ultimately lead to more lease sales and more oil production and more oil in the pipe, which is everybody's goal. But speaking of that, you know, the first item you talked about was to streamline the permitting process, and I think that was the very first item, the unified permit project. And this looks like it's a phased project, which, as you probably found out, I'm not a real big fan of phasing, especially a small dollar amount. Why are we doing that? Obviously, we all want to expedite the permits as quickly as possible, so I'm just wondering, should we just bite the bullet and pay for it all, or go ahead?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to start, and then I might turn it over to Jean Davis, since this project is directly in her shop. But, you know, from our perspective, this is a huge job, and the Department of Natural Resources has over 50 different types of authorizations it issues, and 145 different subtypes of those authorizations. So, you know, it's a giant task. It would be impossible just to sit down and automate the whole thing at once. We have to take specific types of authorizations and analyze that business process and then figure out how to plug that into the automation system. So it's really kind of a progressive project. So it is truly a multi-year project. We couldn't accomplish it all in 1 year had we had the appropriation all at once. So I guess with that, Gene, would you like to?
And if I may, and I haven't, tell you the truth, looked at the operating budget for DNR that closely, but this will also add, what, 7 more positions to the operating budget? Is that correct? And when will we see that? Maybe it's in this year's budget.
For the record, Gene Davis, we actually have those 7 positions in the budget now that they are actually funded with capital project funding. And we would anticipate in our FY15 request, making a request through OMB to convert those positions to general fund as the capital project winds down. We have do the bulk of the development with a contractor. IBM has been working with us, making amazing work, and they've been mentoring our existing programming staff that we've brought on to maintain this job going forward, this project. We'll have a number of maintenance things to accomplish through the years with the permitting screens. A portion of this project is also a document content management system, so there's a large workload associated with the electronic file conversion. And another aspect of it is the geographic location information, which has to be continually updated and able to overlay with the permitting screens and things that adjudicators see. And we actually have a high level of hope, I would say, that once we're able to get the Division of Mining and Water fully implemented with their processes, that there will be other opportunities to expand this through the department. Some of what oil and gas does, some of what the State Pipeline Coordinator's Office does, is generating some interest. And they're seeing what we're doing with mining, land, and water, and we're getting some inquiries from other agencies as well to say, hey, we might want to know more about what you're doing here. So we are looking at focusing on mining, land, and water first, and that is what this project would get us through.
Okay, thank you. And I'm not sure my question was answered. These 7 positions will hit the operating budget in FY15? Because you mentioned they're being paid with capital money currently.
We plan to request through OMB that we would get general fund money to convert those positions. In addition, we will have annual software license fees that are in the $380,000 range that would need to convert to an operating.
Okay, very good. Additional questions from committee members? Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 39, it's the National Historic Preservation Fund, and it's reference number 6865. I see that in past years that the appropriation has been higher, and I'm wondering if that's an effect of how much we're contributing from general fund or whether it's the available funds from the federal government.
Through the chair, Senator Fairclough, there's about $150,000 of general fund in this, and the remainder is federal, and the federal is the part that has decreased over the years.
Okay, so it's not a function of what we're contributing.
That's correct.
Additional questions? I have a question on that particular one. You're on page 39, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is another museum, and we just had the Department of Education, of course, advocating for the SLAM, State Library and Museum. Is DNR the right place for this?
Mr. Chairman, we do have the State Historic Preservation Office within DNR. It's within the Department of, or the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. So we have the state's Historic Preservation Officer in that. So, you know, that's the reason why it's in DNR at this time.
Okay. I think I saw hand Senator Dunleavy.
Yeah, just a brief, very brief. And it's not even a question. Through the chair, I just want to publicly thank the folks sitting at the table, especially Deputy Commissioner Balash and Deputy Commissioner Fogles. I'll call out Deputy Commissioner Fogles just briefly, but we're working on some issues up in the Upper Valley, including a state forest, land sales, a dam is up there, et cetera. And I just want to say that Deputy Fogles has been very responsive to the community requests up that end of the district. And I'm going up there this Saturday, and I'll tell them you said hello. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. Yeah, I know Mr. Fogles has been helping me out as well with one of my constituents up in the Aleutian Island there. I won't say his name, but everybody, I think, knows him. So, Senator Bishop.
Gene, I think you covered the deferred maintenance section of the budget, and I would just, you probably already have done this, but these boiler upgrades, I would just, if you haven't, I'd just like you to consider making sure they're nat gas compatible as far as change out on the burner head. Thank you.
Through the chair, we will note that to the facilities folks.
Additional questions, comments? I think your capital budget is very good. You know, again, the concern is there's a lot of phased projects here. I noticed the public access and user facility at the Kasilof, it also appears to be a phased project. Some of these phased projects obviously are legit. Some of them I think we need to take a look at, just see if we can't just, if it's a legitimate project, just pay for it and get it over with. But we'll look at that and work directly with you. Additional questions, Senator Dunlap?
Just to ensure, just briefly, in the trails management and potential purchase, is it a practice to purchase access, for example, right off, let's say, the Parks Highway or major highways to access the trails? In other words, does DNR look at purchasing certain pieces of property right on the highway so folks can get their ATVs and snow machines off?
Senator Dunleavy, through the chair, that is a mechanism that we can use. We quite often look at situations where we have recreational access issues, and it all depends on what the land ownership pattern is there. A very common situation is where we have the ANCSA 17B easements, which are easements that go from state land across typically Native Corporation land to more state or federal land. And quite often these are poorly marked, and a lot of people don't know where they are and end up trespassing on the Native Corporation land. So we'd like to go through and, in high use areas, maybe work with the ANCSA Corporation, identify these trails, mark them properly, and then maybe work with DOT to build adequate parking facilities within the DOT right away.
Okay. Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think this can be answered immediately, but I've noticed at least two of the departments that have come before the committee now have said that we are paying the federal government we're joining in partnership with the federal government, and we're providing state funds to advance some information so that we get it, I would assume, a little bit faster, or that the federal government can actually process and function to get what we're asking for done. And I'm just wondering how Alaska is being treated in relationship to other states, and whether other states are also funding positions in the federal government to implement laws and regulations that they've laid out on us that they can't actually fund to monitor and implement.
I'm not sure there's a short answer to that, but whoever wants to take a shot.
Senator Fairclough, through the chair, I'll take a stab at that. I think that's maybe a very complex question, but there are instances with for Alaska, for instance. I mean, we have the 402 Clean Water Act discharge program that DEC now runs in lieu of the federal government. That was delegated down to them. So that's a program where we're using state monies to actually administer a federal program. And there are other instances, such as the coal regulatory program, where the federal government actually gives us some money, actually about half, to actually run that program. In other areas, we're looking for a similar situation with the 404 program to get that delegated to us, which we would, if that ever did happen, we would have to end up paying for that program. As far as, you know, what other states do, I mean, I think with respect to the Clean Water Act programs, I think just about every other state in the nation does its own 402 discharge program. The 404 wetlands program is a little different. There are only two states that do that, and, you know, Alaska would be the third if we were successful in our quest. But I think the federal government has been cutting back everywhere, and in my discussions with regulators from other states, they're all seeing that the federal government is cutting back on programs, and we're getting less support from the federal government. You know, actually, a classic example, which I think Senator Bishop would relate to, is the Mine Safety Health Administration is cutting back on its training programs for states, which is going to be a real problem for us. So, I don't know, that's probably not quite a complete answer to your question, Senator, but you know, we can continue this dialogue and get you more information.
Okay. Well, very good. I appreciate your being brief today and running through your budget quickly. Does conclude our business today. Thank you again, DNR, for your presentation. For committee members, tomorrow we will be taking up four different departments. So I would plan on tomorrow probably going past 10:30. Department of Revenue, Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, Alaska Gasline Development Corporation, Department of Health and Social Services. So if there's nothing else to come before the committee, we're adjourned.